Well, what is your name, sir?
Derek Albert Carpenter.
If you will hold one second, the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis will be conducting your hearing, but let me get Ms. Nancy Carpenter on the phone and see if she's available, and then you will be ready for the hearing. Hold on, sir.
Should be one more person, sir.
Should be. Give me one second. Let me try one at a time.
Just one second, Mr. Carpenter. I'll be your panel chairman. We only have one attachment.
Your caller does not accept unidentified calls. If you are a solicitor, please hang up now.
Oh, and your grandmother, sir?
Your name and number for this call only, and complete the call, press one. To enter the telephone number.
I asked for two people, sir.
Connie Diana Pearson?
Yes, sir.
And Nancy Carpenter.
And Nancy Carpenter.
Yes, sir.
All right, we will work to get them on the line, sir.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Nancy. I'm sorry I can't come to the phone right now, but if you'll leave your name and a brief message, I'll return your call. Thank you and have a nice day.
Good afternoon. This is Arizona Board of Executive Committee. It is our understanding that you wish to participate in the parole hearing for Mr. Carpenter this afternoon. And if you get this message within the next few minutes, if you would give us a call back at 602-542-5656. That's 602-542-5656. Thank you so very much, and we will be looking forward. The hearing will be starting in about 2 minutes. Thank you, but you can call.
Hello.
Ms. Carpenter?
Yes?
Yes, this is Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and I believe that you wish to participate in the hearing for Mr. Carpenter this afternoon. Am I correct?
Yes, that's right.
So if you just hold on.
Okay.
So now we've got to try to get one other one on the phone, so and then the hearing will start.
All right.
Mr. Carpenter,
Carmen does not accept unidentified
calls. Ms. Pearson's your mother, correct?
If you are a solicitor, please hang up now.
Yes, sir.
To automatically unblock your name and number for this call only and complete the call, press 1. To enter the...
There's a 250.
So the other number is 928-250.
Yeah. 950.
Hello?
You're in the room. If you'll just take a seat, we're just about to start the hearing, and we have Mr. Carpenter's grandmother on the phone.
We got to make, we may have a call back. Just hold on for a second.
Hello, Ms. Carpenter?
Yes.
And still on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and Ms. Pearson is here?
Oh, she's in court?
No, she's here, ma'am.
Oh.
In the hearing room.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and start the hearing now, so if representatives can just remain quiet, we're going to go through the script, and we'll start the hearing in earnest. Just 1 second.
Okay.
Okay. Mr. Carpenter, can you hear me clearly?
I can, sir.
Okay, can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
It's Derek Albert Carpenter. My number is 149201.
Thank you, sir, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the one alleged violation listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on October 5th, 2017. Is that correct, sir?
I believe so, yes.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire, at your expense, a lawyer to represent you. See no attorney with you in the room. Are you representing yourself today, sir?
I believe I'm representing myself.
Thank you, sir. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing today. If you can see on the teleconference screen, to my extreme far left at the end of the bench is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. After him is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. At the center of the bench is our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. My name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel chairman for your hearing. And to my immediate right is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. Also in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Osborne, and he will be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
Okay, thank you.
Before we get started, I need to swear you and your representatives in. So, Mr. Carpenter, on the phone, Ms. Nancy Carpenter, and Ms. Pearson, and Mr. Osborne. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? So help you God, or so you affirm.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I do, sir.
Okay. Mr. Carpenter, what's that? Thank you. Thank you. I have it marked, but thank you for the follow-up, because I might have slipped past that. Mr. Carpenter, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. I will begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. When I read the allegation to you, you need to respond whether it is true, false, or you wish to remain silent. The reason why you have that third option, to remain silent or plead the fifth, is because there is a department report number suggesting that there is a pending charge in the criminal justice system from your time under community supervision. We'll get further information in that if we move to the second phase. But again, when I read the allegation to you, your choice will be true, false, or you wish to remain silent. Are you clear?
Yes, sir.
Again, we give you that choice to remain silent because this hearing is being recorded, and the recording can be subpoenaed by the prosecutors or other parts of the criminal justice system. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Now, again, if you believe an allegation is false or you wish to remain silent, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections. Board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes, sir.
I will now read from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in a criminal ways or company as follows. There's only one allegation, and that's violation of condition number 5 is demonstrated by your engagement in physically assaultive behavior by using your hands on or about September 8th, 2017 in Grand County, Arizona. Mr. Carpenter, is this true or false? Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, true or false, or do you wish to remain silent?
It's false, sir.
Okay, thank you. Being as if Mr. Carpenter stated it is false, we will take further testimony from our community corrections officer, and then we'll get back to you shortly, Mr. Carpenter, okay?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Allegation number 1. On September 6th of 2017, Deputy Martin, badge number G13 with the Graham County Sheriff's Office, was dispatched to the area of Barney Lane and Solomon Road in reference to two subjects in a white truck that were fighting. Deputy Martin spoke with a witness that had observed a small white truck traveling at a high rate of speed turn onto Barney Lane and believed the vehicle had crashed due to a large amount of dust. The witness observed the male swinging his fist at the female. The female was slumped over the driver's seat, being struck in the face. The witness honked the horn in an attempt to get the male to stop attacking the female. The male got out of the vehicle and the female began to drive away. The witness followed the female to a residence later identified as the victim's residence. The witness made contact with the victim, who stated that her son had hit her. Deputy Martin proceeded to 5246 South Foot Avenue and met with the victim. Deputy Martin observed the victim to have blood on her face and nose area. When questioning the victim, stated that she didn't want to lie, but she didn't want Derek to go to jail. The victim did not provide any additional details. Deputy Harrelson arrived on scene and made contact with a male in the desert. The offender, Derek Carpenter, ADC number 14920, was identified from previous contact. Deputy Harrelson observed Carpenter to have blood in his mouth, no shirt, but was carrying a black t-shirt and wearing shorts matching the description, male wearing a black t-shirt and tan shorts. Deputy Martin proceeded to Deputy Harrelson's location where he advised Carpenter he was under arrest for assault and disorderly conduct, which are felonies. Deputy Martin transported Carpenter to the Graham County Jail where the offender was booked. Sir, charges are pending at this time.
Thank you, sir. Back to you, Mr. Carpenter. What is false about that allegation, sir?
Sir, I never hit anybody. We were driving down the road. We were arguing over things that were family oriented, and it turned to the point where I needed to stop the vehicle and get out of the car, sir. I never used forceful means by any means necessary to get out of that car, but I did get myself out of that car, sir. And I don't know what else to tell you. I didn't hit anybody. I needed to be out of that vehicle at that moment in time, and I got myself out of there. That's all I can tell you.
Thank you, Mr. Carpenter. I'm going to make a motion to move us through phase one so that we can continue with phase two. During the second phase of the hearing, you will have a greater opportunity to speak with the board in detail. Based on information provided in warrant number 2017W3155, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed in a criminal race or company.
Second.
Agree.
Mr. Carpenter, just bear with us because, again, this is only the first phase of the hearing. And we're going to move on to phase two in just a moment. Okay, we are now in phase two. Mr. Carpenter, we're going to determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. Before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Osborne is going to give us additional information. If you'll just remain on the phone, we will come back to you momentarily for questions. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Mr. Carpenter was released from DOC custody on December 27th of 2016. He was arrested on September 12th of 2017 to Safford Parole Office on a tech violation and was returned back to custody that same day with 0 gone days with a community supervision end date of February 21st of 2018. Current conviction, 2012, theft of means of transportation, 6 years, 6 months. 2012, theft, 1 year, 9 months. Prior convictions, 2000, dangerous drug violation, 3 years. 2002, promoting prison contraband, 10 months. 2003, burglary, third degree, 2 years, 6 months. And 2007, flight and law vehicle, 4 years, 6 months. He's had 5 terms with DOC, has a CUIR score of 3.3, a mental health score of 3, and a substance abuse score of 2. There is SCG and gang information noted. that he has admitted to being a Peckerwood and he's a suspected member of the Aryan Brotherhood. Prior terms of supervision, 2002, TIS tech violator, use of cocaine, returned to custody and released to CSED. 2005, TIS absconder, 14 days, returned to custody and revoked. In 2010, he was an absolute discharge. He has a significant and lengthy disciplinary history with multiple write-ups for disobeying orders, threats of harm, promoting prison contraband, and theft notice. And he has a community risk score of G7V8, and I do have stats and charges attached from Senior Parole Officer Raul Maza, dated Thursday, October 12, 2017. So the information received from the Graham County Attorney's Office is that a misdemeanor warrant has been issued for assault. That's all, sir.
Thank you, sir. So a misdemeanor warrant is pending?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Mr. Carpenter, back to you. I'm going to do a quick review of your case supervision summary. Looks like that you were approved to live with your mother, Connie Pearson, at 5246 South Foot Avenue in Safford, Arizona. We don't have record of you having employment when you were on community supervision, but it sounds like you were outside of the prison system for a while, so were you working?
I had found a temporary job for a few days, man. That's all, like, from a business I could find work from. My grandmother, I would clean her yard every week, man. Anytime she needed it mowed, I mean, that's how I was getting money to pay my fines and pay my phone bill in order to keep in contact with my parole officer, Raul Maza. I couldn't find a stable work environment, but I did wind up getting myself into college at the Eastern Arizona College. I was attending school at the time it was happening. That's how I was using my free time, man. I was trying to better myself by getting an education, and that way I could get a job, but I could never find a job, man, to be honest.
Well, I'll be the first to say that I recognize that particular area in Arizona is probably not brimming with job opportunities. What were you studying in college, sir?
I was taking an automotive class, and I was taking an art class, and I was also in a health and wellness class as well.
So in the programming notes, you began Community Bridges, you attended something called SCABHS, and attended, you had, well, numerous attendance for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 days. What's up? We have a note that you self-admitted to meth use. You were directed to report to staff and parole. Referred to detox. One second, sir. Well, you arrived at CBI Tucson for detox and programming. You completed Community Bridges, was discharged with a transition plan. Completed 23-hour crisis, cultural issues and special needs. You were willing and motivated. And there was a plan to continue local treatment with CBUS or whatever that program is.
It's CBUS, sir.
CBUS, thank you. And I apologize. We see a lot of programs throughout the state of Arizona, but I think this is the first time we've seen this one in particular. You know, it's regional. So how did that program go for you, sir? Oh, sorry.
I was attending regularly. It was going all right. I was staying off the drugs. I mean, I was doing everything I needed to do, man. I was trying to jump through every hoop they gave me. I was motivated and willing.
So this this warrant only has one allegation, and it's very specific to assault of activity in which there are pending charges in Graham County Attorney's Office. They're misdemeanor. They're not felony, but they are pending. So you said that they were false. What else would you like to tell us about that incident?
Sure, that my mom's in the courtroom. In the room with y'all, you can ask her exactly what happened. We were arguing, and it turned to a point to where I felt like we were both going to be harmed, so I stopped the car by any means necessary, and that's truly what happened, sir. I never hit her. That's my mom, man. I don't really know what to say, that day they took me to jail. I was released 24 hours later due to the fact that I was going to college. The judge released me. I called my parole officer, Al Mazza. I told him exactly what happened. I was supposed to report a couple of days later on the second Tuesday. It was the second and third Tuesday of the month. So a couple of days later was the day I was supposed to report. I told him what happened. He said, well, we're probably going to have to take you back to prison. I said, well, I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and take myself to court that morning, and I'll be in there to see you right after court. And I did exactly that, and now I'm here. And I told everybody along the way that I was supposed to be in court on September 26th for this thing. That way, I get it taken care of one way or another. And I sat here, so I never did get the opportunity to go in there and fix it. So whether it's pending or not, sir, I never hit my mother. And I don't know what, I mean, have her right there. She can tell you whatever she wants.
Okay, sir. I'm going to ask a quick follow-up question of our community corrections officer, and then I will follow up with a question with you. Now I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions, and we'll move on with your supporters. But first question, Mr. Osborne, is his contact with his parole officer regarding police contact, was that immediate or in the criminal notes? I don't know if you have
it. Let me just look back real quick, sir. September 12th of 2017.
And the incident happened when?
September 6th.
So with the 6-day delay, was he in violation of not reporting police contact?
Well, it would be a violation for not within 24 hours. I believe he said he stated he waited until his next report date.
Okay.
Can I speak, sir?
That's just what I see in the notes.
Well, actually, that was the question I had for our community corrections officer, and I was going to come back to you. So what did you want to tell us, sir?
When I was arrested and released, I immediately got on the phone and called Ralph Mazza. He didn't ask me to come in, sir. I'm not sure exactly what day it was that I got out, but I believe it was probably the 7th. And when I was released, I called him immediately, and he didn't ask me to come in. Had he would have, I would have came immediately in. I just told him, look, well, he said, my next report date, we're probably going to take it, is what he said. And I said, well, I have court that morning. It turns out that I have court that morning, and I'm going to go to court. And I'm going to go to court, and then I'm going to come into the parole office, and you guys are going to take me. And apparently they took me. So I didn't do anything that wasn't asked of me. I called Ralph Mazza immediately upon my release. I hate to say this, but I've been on parole so much that I know that I have to call and make sure that I do things. Otherwise, it's going to be bad for me. So, I mean, I really wish he was in the courtroom, because I'm sure he would tell you the exact same thing. He didn't ask me to come in that day. He just said, you're going to come in on Tuesday? I told him, of course, I have court on Tuesday morning. And I said, right after court, sir, I'll come in and we'll take care of whatever we have to take care of.
Mr. Carpenter, I have one last question, and it relates to the allegation itself, and that is there's reports from the parole officer via the sheriff's department. It would appear that, and I believe we're talking about your mother, Ms. Pearson, that she had blood in her face and nose area, and that the deputy observed you to have blood in your mouth, no shirt. So what are you saying those injuries came from?
Stopping the vehicle, sir. We wound up hitting the car pretty much wrecked, pretty much. It wasn't total, it was still drivable home. My mother drove it home. I wasn't the one driving the car, sir. So.
But was there an argument that caused the wreck, sir?
No. So she started speeding up to the point to where it was dangerous, and there was people on the road, as he states in the thing. And I truly felt like we were both going to be killed if I didn't stop this vehicle. I made a judgment call to take over the wheel. She was in a seatbelt. I don't know. You know, all I know is that by the time I got out of the car and was walking down the road, I was bleeding. I mean, I can't tell you that I wasn't hit in any way, shape, or form. So they have those things that are like mile markers. I believe we hit one of those. As I tried to pull the car over the side of the road.
Okay, Mr. Carpenter, just a quick follow-up, and then I'm going to open it up to the board. Mr. Osmond, was there anything more on that phone call?
So there was nothing on the phone call, just on the 12th, while in the office, he stated that they had been in a car accident, and then the PO found out it was assault. Domestic violence type charges that were pending at the time.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Osborne. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you, Mr. Carpenter. No questions from fellow board members. Okay. Mr. Carpenter, this is the part of the hearing where we allow the representatives to speak to the board. So because we have Ms. Carpenter on the telephone, I'm going to allow her to go first. Just in case that she is not in a good position. So, Ms. Nancy Carpenter, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Can you state your name for the record?
Nancy Carpenter.
And what would you like to share with the board, ma'am?
Pardon me?
What would you like to share with the board?
What would I like to share with the board?
Yes, ma'am.
Derek was trying real hard to succeed, and he was trying real hard to get a job, and he kept my yard up for me and did lots of work. I only paid him in kind and not in money, and he applied for a job at the Open Loop Energy, and he asked the sheriff of Grand County if he knew where he could get a job. He asked my two neighbors if he could keep their yard for them. He sent in a job application to one of the construction places up in Morenci, and he went out to a coffee and printing place and asked them for a job, and he was just unable to find a job. But he was trying to better himself by going to college, and he was wanting to learn a mechanic skill so he could get a job. He realized with his reputation that no one was going to hire him, and so he was trying to better himself and was taking an art class, and I don't know what else he was taking, but he was trying to go to school.
Thank you, ma'am. Is there anything else you would like to share?
nothing other than I think he was trying real hard to straighten his life out. He was having a bit of a cultural shock going from about 10 years in prison out to the society, but he was trying very hard. And as far as I know, he wasn't on any drugs.
Well, thank you, ma'am. Do you wish to stay on the telephone as we continue with this hearing?
Yes.
Okay. I am going to ask Ms. Pearson if she'll approach the podium. You can adjust the microphone to your voice level. And if you'll state your name.
Connie Diane Pearson.
And what would you like to share with the board, ma'am?
Well, I'd like to share with the board that Derek has always had to take responsibility for the things he has done. Everything, you know, we never had any kind of money to defend him or anything. Well, these allegations are false. And if truth be told, if anybody would have been arrested, had they actually seen anything, it would have been me. I was driving. We were having issues. My husband left me months ago, and he kind of left me a little destitute. We were having issues, but we were coping and doing well with it. I've got a job, and as far as Derek, he took care of my 2.75 acres that my husband left me with. So anyway, that being said, Derek, I had just picked him up from the DMV. He was trying to get his driver's license taken care of. And at that point, I was having a very bad day. I had had a couple of beers with my boss while I was waiting for Derek to get done at the DMV. And when I picked him up, he had already walked halfway home. When I picked him up, I had asked him to read a text from my husband. It was pretty bad, and it had me really upset. And this is no excuse, but this is me, not Derek. He didn't hit me. I hit the windshield when we ran off the road. I don't even know at what point, but that kid saved his own life that day. The police department, the sheriff's department, never saw me or Derek in the vehicle. I was already almost home. I went on home. Derek got out of the car or the truck because he needed to. He felt threatened, okay? I went on home. The police guy, the sheriff, he came about 15 minutes later. I was sitting outside. Derek had my key to the house. We had, you know, so I was waiting for him. I knew he was walking. Well, evidently they picked him up before they even came to my house and asked me anything. I told them that Derek did not hit me. I never said that I didn't want Derek to go back. I didn't want to lie. That's just totally wrong. The timing of this is wrong. Like I said, if they would have even had a clue what was really going on, I would have been in trouble. And I've got a good driving record. That was the first time I've ever gone off the road. I was kind of discombobulated, but the ambulance showed up after the sheriff did, and that was after Derek was already gone. They had to go get my key and bring it back to me so I could get into my house. But I was bleeding because I hit the steering wheel, and I had my seatbelt on. I had sore ribs the next day. I didn't even recollect actually what they were trying to accuse Derek of until the next day. I hit my face on the steering wheel so hard, I didn't even know I had a bloody face until this ambulance shows up in my front yard and proceeds to tell me that they're going to take care of me. It's the truth, you know, and my son shouldn't be punished for something I did. I mean, he's all well and good, taking care of being responsible for what he does. But he saved his own life that day, and that's all I can tell you is the truth. And that's why I came.
Thank you, ma'am. I have some questions, and also I'll ask the board if they have any follow-up questions. One, and I ask this with respect, you've been very honest with this board about the incident. Certainly this is not your hearing, it's not your revocation hearing. We're not here to press charges on you. But a couple of follow-up questions that I think are important for us making a decision based on all the information that we can gather. One is that you said that you were having issues. I didn't understand if you meant that you and him were having issues, or what were the issues?
Well, issues with life in general. I was dealing with my husband who had left me, and Derek was dealing with his culture shock and his. I mean, it was really a shock to his system. He scared to death to go anywhere because of what happens to him in public. You know, he's got no control over it. He hasn't been participating in any nightlife or even girlfriends or anything that disturbed him, because he felt that having a relationship with somebody was important. And it is, but one step at a time, you know. But we go week by week. I get paid every 2 weeks. Derek doesn't have a job. He's trying to go to school. I can't get him to school and be at work at the same time. We were trying to get his driver's license. It's just a lot of issues of life.
The last question is, and again, you made this statement, and I wasn't sure what you meant. You said that he felt threatened. What do you mean he felt threatened by?
With my driving. Okay. I was speeding. All I remember is I put my foot to the floor. I just had it, you know, and I was trying to ask Derek to read that text to me. I'm driving. I can't, you know, and it was from my ex, soon to be ex. And so I just got to tell you.
Okay, ma'am. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Okay, thank you for being so...
Well, can I say something? That kid never hit me. He was going for the steering wheel.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you. We appreciate you being honest with the board. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Carpenter, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there anything that you would like to share with the board before we go into the discussion? We've only asked that you don't repeat yourself, but this is your hearing. So is there anything else that you would like to share?
No, sir.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Carpenter, the board will go into discussion now. It may sound like that we're discussing or speaking with you, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes. I must be loud through your receiver, but before we come to our individual votes and make a decision as to whether to continue you on community supervision or revoke. So if you'll just stay on the phone, the board's going to have a discussion. We're going to make our vote, and we'll come back to you with a decision shortly. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. The board is now in the discussion. Fellow board members, this is... ma'am? Okay, thank you. No. I understand. Thank you. I should have asked you that before you sat down.
I'm sorry. It's okay. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, thank you. The board is now in discussion. For the board members, this is an interesting case in as much that we do have a pending misdemeanor charge out of Graham County. We don't know all of the facts in that case. We certainly have a summary of it. And frankly, as one voting board member, I feel like I have no choice but to take that allegation at face value. inasmuch that there was a police report, an arrest, and a pending misdemeanor charge with the Graham County Attorney's Office. After listening to all of the testimony from both Mr. Carpenter and Ms. Pearson, as well as his grandmother, I have to admit it's hard to really know what unfolded. There seems to have been a car accident. We have both Mr. Carpenter and Ms. Pearson admitting that. I have to say that it's very possible that there were injuries associated with that accident. I guess what it comes down to for me is the fact that we have a very real pending allegation of a misdemeanor charge by the Graham County Attorney's Office. What I was trying to get was the timeline down as to Mr. Carpenter making contact with his parole officer after police contact. That being stated, that's where I want to begin the discussion, because this is an interesting case. So I look forward to any of the one of my fellow board members might be looking at this through a different filter. Yes,
Mr. Quinones, it appears to me, I can imagine what the culture shock of going from serving prison time to moving to Safford, Arizona, to a very rural area must be. And it sounds like when Mr. Carpenter couldn't get work easily, which I can understand that too, that he chose to enroll in school, which seems like a good alternative. So he definitely was trying to better himself. And according to a statement here, it sounds like his parole, anyone who happened to be supervising him, says he's willing and motivated.
Yes,
so,
sir.
And he does, has gone to treatment at Southeast Arizona Behavioral Health. It seemed, by all accounts here, it seems like he was doing well. He did have a couple of problems with previous supervision in 02 with the technical violation, and in 05 with the abscond for, I don't think it was very many days, only 14 or something. And he had admitted to meth use, which is a problem, and that will have to stop. But it seemed to me, it seems on the surface that he was doing well, and he certainly obviously has the support of his mother. So I could be open to listening to more.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. And I'm, like you, taking it all in. Any other input from public? Yes, sir, doctor.
I think that we all on the fence, but I think that one thing, and I look to Mr. Osborne to make sure that what I say is correct. If this board saw fit to release him at this point, unfortunately, he could have no contact with his mother.
Oh, that's right.
And that's one of the things that concern me, that there would be zero contact, because regardless of what happened, that's just a legal fact that we are dealing with. I just wanted to put that on the record.
Thank you for that clarification, doctor, because in our discussion, it was something that kind of went over my head. Thank you, doctor. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
I'm not in favor of him being released and back out, and I think he did strike his mom. And you got a witness who had nothing to do with it that was going down the street and says that she observed him strike her with his fist, you know, in the face before he got out of the vehicle. He had the police officer who went to the house to the female who observed her followed her to the house, and she's the one who notified the police. Detective went to the house and spoke with the mother. And the mother, according to the report, the mother had blood on her face and nose area and didn't deny that she was drunk, but simply stated that she didn't want to see Derek go to jail. So she didn't provide any additional details. But, you know, you got a witness that observed him striking her, and then you got the police who actually went to and contacted her right after this incident occurred, and she had blood in her face, blood on her face and blood on her nose. And they also said that Mr. Carpenter, when they arrived on the scene, observed Carpenter to have blood in his mouth. I understand the mother coming down, and the grandmother that's on the phone, but according to the, you know, what I'm reading, to me it appears that she was struck, and I just don't see that as being something to lightly overlook. So at this point in time, I think that he has an anger management problem, and there's a problem with that. Even when he was questioned and asked what the argument was over with, there's almost a denial to just say it was over some family matter, but it had to be something serious to cause that much anger, truck to be speeding, to go off the road and, you know, appear to be, maybe they may have been in an accident from the dust that was on there. And I'm not on the fence, and I'm not in favor.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Neal.
Well, the whole thing with the incident in the vehicle is shame from our point of view, because we don't have a whole lot of facts. I would say there's probably enough facts to develop probable cause for the county attorney to actually file charges or issue a warrant. But also from my experience as an accident reconstructionist, I don't have enough information to say exactly, but basically the dynamics of what they're telling me and what happened with the vehicles are not consistent with the injuries that his mother is saying were caused from the accident. So I'm not in favor of reinstating his community supervision.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Before I make a motion, I do want to say, as one voting board member, and I'd say that we all do, but I certainly work hard to take in all the information, certainly to show respect to the individual appearing before this board. We have a witness statement, but I think I'll go back to something that I said earlier, after considering everything, is that we have a very real misdemeanor warrant that's pending in Graham County. And a incident where there's, not to show disrespect to anybody in this hearing room, but where there's some holes in the story, we don't have all the information. And so I have to go back to something very basic as a board member, and that is that our number one priority is public safety. And based on the information that has been provided to us in this warrant in particular, relating to a physically assaultive incident, I'm going to make my motion, and that is based on information provided in warrant number 2017W3155, as well as our discussion with Mr. Carpenter and information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke committee supervision as Mr. Carpenter was delinquent in as much as that we have an allegation of assaultive behavior, violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in a criminal ways or company.
Second.
Okay, Mr. Carpenter, I want to keep this as positive as possible. Your supervision has been revoked, but you will be released on or about February 21st, 2018, which is less than 4 months away. We ask that you take advantage of the remainder of your sentence. Again, it's less than 4 months, to put together a transition plan for your release back to the community We recognize that there is a methamphetamine relapse in there, so please concentrate on any programming that's available to you from the Department of Corrections. When you're released in February, you'll be under your own free will. You can pursue schooling. You won't be limited to the area that you're living in. You'll have opportunity. But right now, this board is going to make its decision based on public safety. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place, and we do wish you success upon your return to the community in February. Thank you, sir. This hearing has been concluded.